Win £50,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win the jackpot. If it's not won, we'll roll it over to the following week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
Welcome all to another episode of From the Horse's Mouth as we look ahead to a weekend of racing with Rory De Largy and Ruby Walsh. I'm back, Patrick Nelly. If you haven't listened to Fridays with Fran and Dundalk hasn't happened yet, why not? We've had great fun, really, particularly talking about his Wikipedia page. That was my particular highlight. But have a listen to that if you're looking to have a look at Dundalk tonight. But it's all about the weekend racing. We're at Warwick and Kempton, and we've got Punchestown and Ferryhouse to cover as well. First things first, Rory De Largy, Happy New Year. How are you?
I'm very well, all things considered. Happy New Year to you. You're looking tanned.
No, I'm not.
As they say at this time of the year?
I am not. I had a hat on the entire time, so not a chance. I was getting burnt. Ruby Walsh, how are you? How was Christmas?
I'm great, PK. I'm great, thank God. All well.
I assume you were up the walls Christmas, so you took a few weeks out, or a week or so afterwards to refresh?
I was busy. But all is good.
I asked you before we went, you said, aren't you lucky you don't have to get that 6 a.m. flight to Kempton on Stephen's Day? And
I didn't get it though. I decided that if it was delayed and I didn't make Kempton for ITV, it wouldn't be nearly as bad as not making it to ride in the King George. So I went on a much later flight, PK, much more acceptable one. So I did, but I did find myself on a 6:40 flight yesterday morning to London to record the road to Cheltenham. But it was okay.
It's not too bad. It's better than 27 hours to Australia, I can guarantee you that. But sure, you've done that.
My heart's bleeding for you.
Isn't it? Yeah. I tell you. Right, lads, we've got loads to get through.
I did it. Went on a Friday.
Yeah.
Thursday, would I go on a Thursday? Well, if I went Thursday morning, would I have been in Australia Friday night?
It's longer going that way. So I did.
I went Thursday morning, Friday night, I rode Saturday and came home Sunday.
Who did you ride in Australia? Oh, Bash Boy, wasn't it?
Yep.
And he won his tune as well. Yeah, I saw a couple of that. Steve Pateman, is that the fellow who used to ride that?
Yeah,
I saw a couple of his horses run at Moonee Valley. Didn't run very well. But anyway, yeah, very good. Yeah, so Ruby, horse winner of the Grand Annual down at Warrnambool. Great spot.
No, I won the Grand National in
Ballarat. Okay, right.
You're right. The Grand Annual is in Warrnambool. Yeah, you're well up on your Australian jumper, aren't you?
You bloody want to be. They only have about 10 meetings a year, so you bloody want to be. Rory, any winners at Australian jumps racing recently?
No.
Next. How did Christmas punting go, Rory?
It was a mixed bag, it has to be said.
Yeah.
Enough good price winners to make up for some terrible bets on short price losers.
Oh no! What was the highlight?
Royal Pagai was good. I got heavily involved in Royal Pagai on the post for the King George. So, him finishing second was a decent result. But I ended up getting involved. And well, I was very keen on Shan Blue at Weatherby, but it was a day when I think Dan Skelton had a treble on the day, but he had 8 horses pull up as well. And Shan Blue was one of those that was a load of them were beaten in halfway. So Shambly ran an absolute stinker up at Weatherby, and he was sort of my nap of the day, and that was disappointing.
Is that the Royal Merrick? Are you running that?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I've always liked that horse.
The ironic thing is that the thing that won it is a horse that I since his chase debut, decided that Shambly was just too well in, and what a stinker he ran.
Oh dear. Roy Pagai got you a few quid in anyway, so that's not too bad. And before we get stuck into Warwick, Kempton and beyond, just a couple of bits of housekeeping for you. On Monday, myself, Ruby and Rory are going to record our first episode of the Cheltenham Countdown. We're going to do it in front of TV cameras as well. You'll be able to watch it on the Paddy Power Horse Racing YouTube channel. So please do subscribe to that. There's loads of good stuff on it, and there's going to be plenty between now and Cheltenham. So that we're going to record on Monday. Paddy's Pick 5 is back, obviously, for Saturday. 50 grand in the pot. We'll talk about those races, the majority of which are on ITV. And free tickets alert. Would you like to go to the Dublin Racing Festival? All the entries were revealed, and it's going to be a good one, folks. Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup Day, that's the Saturday. We're going to give you a free ticket, as per usual. Put you in the draw for free tickets if you simply retweet or quote tweet any tweets about this particular show. Say something nice and you'll be in the hat, and producer Mark will pick one out as random, and hopefully you'll enjoy a wonderful Saturday of racing. And speaking of Saturday, let's go to Warwick. We have got their big race day of the season, I think it's fair to say. The 150 is the first race we're going to look at. It is the Hampton Novice Chase. It's a 3 mile grade two. Complete unknown for Paul Nicholls, and Lorcan Williams is the 6-5 favourite as we record. 15-8 Gallia Diddley Doe for the aforementioned Skeltons, Harry and Dan. The Goffer, Gordon Elliott sending this one over. Sam Ewing on board is threes. Gentleman Arms 12-1 the outsider four. Ruby Walsh, off we go.
I really fancy Gallia Diddley Doe. I thought it just all fell apart for her and the Kettle Star Novice Chase at Kempton. She stepped into the ditch, which was the second fence. Again, then missed the next ditch early in the back straight, and it just all unraveled for her. I thought she was quite good when she beat Mia Grace at Bangor. And yeah, I'm going to forgive her. And I think I fancy her strongly here.
Okay, strong fancy for Gallia Diddley Doe. Rory?
Yeah, I very much see the case for Gallia Diddley Doe, and I was with her at Kempton. Ruby's point is absolutely valid. She just seemed to frighten herself early in the race, and then she couldn't get her confidence back after that. And you can pretty much put a line through it. She handles heavy ground very well. She was a winner at Weatherby over hurdles last season, and that win at Bangor. I know we don't tend to pay much attention to what happens at Bangor, but that was a listed chase she won. She did that in good style and in a good time as well. So I very much respect her chance, but I don't want to back Dan Skelton horses at the moment after what happened over Christmas. And he's only had one of his last 20 has won. I'm just a little bit wary of backing a few stables at this time of the year. And Dan's would be one of them. I do respect her chance. I think come the off, Complete Unknown will be a bigger price than he is at the moment. He doesn't make a massive amount of appeal at the early prices, but in very short. But I think it ends up drifting a little bit. And he is the type to be a better chaser than a hurdler. He was a bit of a late developer over hurdles. Paul Nicholls, by all accounts, thought he was a certainty in the EBF final last year. Sadly, most of us weren't privy to that until after the race. And he did bolt up in that contest. I backed his other horse, naturally. He won that off a mark of 126. So he was behind most of these over hurdles. It's only a small race, but he needs to improve a little bit to be winning graded chases. But I thought the novice handicap he ran in at Foss last was quite a deep race last time out. And he won that well, despite the fact that he was dropping back to 2.5. He gives the impression that 3 miles will be his trip. And I think he'll progress from that. Again, he was only winning off 1.35 there. But I thought it was a strong enough contest. First Lord Dekue, who was second, ran well, turned out reasonably quickly after that. And I thought it looked a strong race on paper at the time. He did it nicely while looking like the 2.5 miles was sharp enough for him. So again, on heavy ground, which clearly suits, and back up to 3 miles, I think he'll take the beating.
Yeah, when you say you expect him to drift, so he's 6-5 now. I'm always keen. What kind of a price do you think you'd be getting stuck into?
I probably wouldn't be backing him unless he was around 7-4, and he might not hit that price. But you know, on the ratings, he's gone up to 142 for that win in a handicap. The golfer's rated 146, and Gallia Diddley Doe is rated 141, and of course receives weight, receives the mare's allowance. So strictly speaking, Complete Unknown should be third favourite on the ratings. He's not going to be. He's going to be favourite, but I think, because of those ratings, the prices will get a little bit closer. I think there'll be support for both Gallia Diddley Doe and the Goffer, which will make it a little bit closer towards the head of the market. 7-4 would be appealing. Shorter than that, I'll just sit in my hands.
Fair enough. You need to sack your mole in the Nicholls Yard as well, by the sounds of things.
I was watching that and I didn't hear the pre-race chat, but I remember Meg Nicholls saying afterwards that her dad said, I told
Isn't
her that
great?
This horse would win. He told me 2 months ago this horse was a good thing for this race.
Love hearing stuff. That. Love
she might have said
that.
It before the race as well. I wasn't listening to the chat before the race, but I got the impression that it only came out subsequently. But there you go.
After time, Ansel. All right, let's move on to the after time, Megan. Let's move on to the 225, the Leamington Novice Hurdle, this grade two over 2 miles five. This is the first of Paddy's pick five. Hopefully we'll get the winner in this one and kick on. Knowsley Road for Paul Nicholls and Lorcan Williams, the 3-1 favourite as we record. Tom Lacey's got Ginny's Destiny, probably Ginny's Destiny. Grey Dawning, 7-2 for Skeltons again. Snake Roll is 7-2 for Lucinda Russell and Derek Fox. And 13-2 Bar. So this is pretty open. It's only half a point between the top four.
Yeah, this is a a very open looking race on paper. Never easy with the novices at this stage of the season, as I said, because the pecking order can change. Horses have only had one or two runs, particularly coming out of novice or maiden hurdles into graded company. Some of them will rise to the occasion. Some of them will curl up a little bit for it. But this was a pretty hard one to unpick. I was quite impressed by Gavega on her two starts to date. Oh, sorry, his two starts to date. I'm saying her because he's closely related to Gavega, hence the name. And he looked a chip off the old block when winning at Lingfield and then Fontwell. But again, yeah, time form tell me that Gary Moore is in form. Went to Sandown last weekend and Gary had three horses who were reasonably well fancied, including Authorised Speed, who was a hot favourite, and an odds-on favourite in the first race, who stopped to nothing, as if there was something wrong. And indeed, Authorised Speed scoped dirty after the race. So I'm not going to be piling in on Gary Moore horses at shortish prices. In saying that, Gavega's not a particularly short price here, and you can certainly give him a chance. He's bred to cope well with the ground. He coped with the soft well at Fontwell last time out, and you'd have thought, being by Authorised, that he will he'll relish heavy ground. But I'm more inclined to take a chance here from a yard that's been in form for quite a while, but tends to be underrated. Moonhunter for Henry Daly. He's won both his starts today. You don't see too many Henry Daly horses who win their first two starts. Unusual that that this horse didn't start off in bumpers, but he's won both starts over hurdles. The first of those on good ground, and the second on slightly softer ground at Doncaster. So there's a little bit of a question mark as to how he will handle more testing ground. But on pedigree, he's out of a Sahari Lewis mare. And a Pethers Moon, you know, he won a group race on soft ground at Ascot. And he's producing winners on soft ground as well. So I don't think the ground's going to be a massive issue for Moonhunter. I don't know if he's the best of these, but you're getting a fair chance at the prices. You know, there's only one in the field at a bigger price than him. And I think that makes Moonhunter a sporting bet at the prices.
I'm assuming each way?
Not in a field of this size, no.
Okay.
Seven runners each way. Are you mad?
Oh, I've been called for it. You never know. Well, he's an each way price. It's 10 to 1. And if he comes second, he'd be like,
well, you might, in fairness, we're getting to the stage now that quite a few firms are going three places on seven runner races.
Not us in this one.
No, but you know, if you do get three places in a seven runner race, then that becomes actually very attractive from an each way point of view. Two places in a seven runner race doesn't give you the same sort of edge. But if you meet someone who's giving you three places,
go for it. Well,
be ashamed not to.
You're calling me mad. Producer Marcus has called me a mug. This is a great start to my return. Ruby Walsh, what are your thoughts on the Leamington Novice?
Yeah, pretty much the same. Thought it was really competitive. Grey Dawning obviously won a handicap at Kempton on Boxing Day or Stevens's Day. Came from well off the pace on that occasion, even though it was in front turning in. But I was kind of leaning towards Snake Roll for Lucinda Russell and Derek Fox. Wasn't quick enough at Haydock behind Tamores, but even when you watch him gallop, and he seems to gallop up into the air like he's still green, like he's still learning his job, I thought he was impressive enough in a pretty ordinary race at Newcastle on Stevens's Day. But he galloped all the way to the line. I think slow ground will suit him. He'd buy Jet away, and I just got to take a chance on Snake Roll.
Okay, take a chance of Snake Roll in. That's the 225 at Warwick. Right, the Classic Chase, sponsored by the Wigley Group, is due off at 3 o'clock. Always a good race, 3 miles, 5 furlongs. And Mr. Incredible for Willie Mullins and Brian Hayes is your current favourite now. It was double figure price anti-post during the week, but that's long gone. 5-1 joint favourite with Gutapan Collange for Charlie Longson, Richie McClurlin. You've got 11-2, 300-5, 8-1 Lord of Menil and Grumpy Charlie and Nestor Park and 9-1 Bar. We are going to go four places in this, Ruby. Straight to you. Willie Mullins, Paul Byrne, we're used to these horses trained by Emmett. Is this the first that Willie's had, or has there been others?
God, you had me there, PK. I don't think it's the first. Maybe it is. But Mr. Incredible, look, he lost his way with Henry. Was obviously well beaten by a High Senior in November of 21. Then refused behind Fury Road at Leopardstown. Pulled up. He didn't. He pulled himself up at Tremore behind Fighter Allen in April of 22. And he got brought down then in the Paddy Power at the fourth or fifth fence on his first run for Willie. He has his own ideas, his own way of doing things. Just thinking about Warwick. Start at the bottom of the home straight. Up past the winning post once, up past the winning post twice. He has his own ideas. And I'm just wondering, will he realise after going a circuit and a half that he'll know where home is and not decide to go out for a third time. That'd be my worry with Mr. Incredible. But look, he definitely has an engine. Beat Indiana Jones and Glenn Zavantrum at Nace, his last two wins in 2021. He has plenty of ability, but he definitely has his own ideas on the sport. And for that reason, I prefer to go with Getap and Collange, who I thought had plenty in hand when it beat Riley, pecked badly at the last of Morrick early in November, off America 120, only got £6 for it, but I thought did really well to get back up to win at Morrick, which suggested to me that he had a bit more in hand.
You wouldn't now, if you were to miss a phone call, Ruby, you wouldn't have much of an excuse. That's loud enough. You know, that is pretty loud ringtone.
I know.
Yeah. All right. Just to recap, Guitapan to Collange, number 13 on the card for Richie McLaren and Charlie Longston. Rory.
I'm very much in agreement with Ruby here. I did at one stage think Mr. Incredible was going to make up into a top class prospect, but he did not impress me with his demeanor at Newbury behind Ahoy Senor. And obviously, he's not finished a race since. Tons of ability, but not a horse you could be backing at any kind of short price. He's the sort of horse you could take a chance on if he was, you know, in a better race at a massive price, because you know the ability is there. But I couldn't be backing him at 5 to 1. No. Grumpy Charlie, I could give chances at 2, but it's a reasonably quick turnaround for Staying Chaser. 2 weeks after Newbury, I was with him in Newbury in the Mandarin. I've always liked Grumpy Charlie. Chris Honor, there were signs that his horses were coming back to form just before he won his previous two or three, including Tile Tapper, had run very well. Whereas they'd been in bad form from the spring onwards. So you can ignore the poor runs in Grumpy Charlie's card, and he came right back to form to win at Newbury. Whether he's able to repeat that turned out 2 weeks later, I don't know. And I don't think this would have been a long-term aim. I could be wrong there. I do like him as a performer, and I give him a chance. But I agree entirely with Ruby. I was really impressed with Guitapan Collange for most of the race at Warwick. His jumping was suspect last season, but he showed tons of ability. But I thought, I mean, if you just watch the end of the race at Warwick, you'll think, oh, he's done well to fight back, but his jumping's a little bit suspect. He actually jumped really well for the most part at Warwick. And obviously Warwick is a real jumping test, as we'll see again here. But he looked a different horse in terms of his jumping. I mean, he fell at Sedgefield, and Sedgefield, not the stiffest fences in the world. But he seemed to really enjoy himself. You know, when he saw a stride at a fence, he was gaining ground in the air over his rivals. He got in tight to a couple and was reasonably clever. And his only real mistake of the race was at the last. But then you saw how well he rallied to beat Riley. I wouldn't trust Riley, to be perfectly honest. He disappointed next time out. I think a more robust horse might have got the better of Guitapan Collange on the run in that day. But he went through the race as if he was well ahead of his mark. He really enjoyed himself. If you stopped the race at any point over the previous 2 miles, you'd have pointed to him as the likeliest winner, just because of the way he went through it and the way he seemed to be enjoying himself. He will stay further. And I think he's clearly well handicapped. I thought £6 wasn't a tough rise for that. You can look at what Riley did next time and say, well, the form isn't that good. But actually, ignore Riley, who's a bit of a twicer anyway, and look at how the others who were well beaten. Rocky's Treasure, beaten 25 lengths, was a winner of a handicap next time out. Favorita Civilla, who was just a neck behind Rocky's Treasure that day, was also a winner next time out. And Fairlawn Flyer, who was pulled up, also won a handicap chase in his next start. So it starts to look like a very competitive race that he was in, despite the small field. And I think the £6 rise is generous. And as a 7-year-old who's just getting his act together at jumping fences, I think he looks thrown in.
You make a very strong case for Guitapan Collange. I think we've called up 5 different names now. This is an extra place race. Am I allowed to put each way here, or am I still?
Oh, no, you definitely each way. I mean, I'd rather be backing a horse that I knew was a really sound jumper and would be close to the front here. But I think he'd race handily. Your only worry with Guitapan Collange is that maybe, you know, the first few fences would be a bit of a test for him. But as I said, I was largely impressed with his jumping last time out. So you're okay with each way here.
Still a mug, according to Mark. move on to the Pretemps Qualifier 335. This one off Ashtown Lad for Harry and Dan Skelton, 11-4 favourite. The Bomber Liston for Nicky Henderson and Paul O'Brien is 4-1, 5-1 Ronald Pump. in this race. Gordon Elliott sent over Sire de Burley, who's plummeting down in the handicap. He's also got Level Never Ending. It's a tricky one, these pretempts, when you're trying to guess about horses trying to get into finals and whatnot. But who wins this one?
Look, Ronald Pump is a 10-year-old, change of yard, second run for Kieran Murphy. Ran okay, I suppose, at Clonmel in December. You said Sire de Burley is plummeting down the ratings. He got a penalty, obviously, for winning at Aintree. So he's back to where he was, £2 below where he was lining up at Aintree, which is 156 that day, 154. I'm not sure I saw enough at Leopardstown to suggest that he's come down far enough. Level Ever Ending's form looks, Grand Swar is probably a decent enough horse, but I'm just not sure about Level Never Ending. And the one I was drawn to was the Bomber Liston. I thought he ran better than his finishing position at Punchestown last April. Behind a great view, he raced on the pace that day and then got caught in a pocket off the home turn and got knocked about a bit. He didn't run from April until Stevens's day when he was too keen behind Grey Dawning at Kempton over 2.5, steps up to 3 miles and won, and I was kind of drawn to the 7-year-old, the Bomber Liston.
Hey Rory, what county do the Bomber Liston play for?
No, I know that. I was wondering how many of the non-Irish listeners would know, but I remember Kerry's 3 in a row and reading about it when I was in P7, because we had a little library at the back of the class and my desk was next to it, and I could read all about the great Kerry team of the late 70s and early 80s.
So right. Good knowledge, Roy. I wasn't going to catch you out there.
Apologies. Well, you know, in fairness, if you tried with something else, you could easily catch me out. But that just happens to be a little pocket of knowledge that I do have.
And yeah, Ruby, he is. I've seen him in Prairie Dreams. Is he involved in horses? Or
he does. You definitely see him in Killarney a bit. Obviously, being a Kerry man. But it's funny, I thought, was he not on the 4-in-a-row team that got beat by Offaly and then won the 3-in-a-row, or did he just come in for the 3-in-a-row?
Blank face over here.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, well,
Pat Spillane and Mikey Sheedy and I thought he was on that.
Apologies, my connection keeps dropping. That's why I don't know. My connection is great. Apologies.
For the bonus point, where did he play?
Crikey, for Kerry. I'll go with midfield Dynamo, probably like mid.
Half forward. I go half forward.
Yeah?
I think he wore 6. I'm going half back.
Okay.
Half back.
Oh, right. Okay. We've got most of the field.
He used to bomb forward
there.
From half back.
That's hence the bomber. Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah. Well, it could be wrong. We'll ring Pat Spillane and ask him, will we?
Exactly. The bomber listed anyway, the selection from Ruby. Rory, your selection.
I will go for a Glimpse of Gala. She is not the fastest you'll ever see, but she stays all day, as she showed at Kempton last time out. She was probably the first off the bridle in that Mayor's Handicap hurdle the second day of Kempton's Christmas meeting, but she kept grinding away and got the job done in the end. Very game. That's a decent enough performance. She's gone up £5 for it. But she's got on very well with Bradley Roberts, who's ridden her on 4 of her last 5 starts, runner-up twice before winning at Kempton. She's also won here, so the track won't be an issue for her. Trip is grand, and the deeper the ground is, the better for her. So I think she runs a decent race. Plenty of these will have half an eye on the final without needing to win. You know, it's a smallish field, and they'll be looking to get in the 4. But I think Glimpse of Gala will. I think Charlie Longston will look at this as an opportunity to win a decent pot and on the telly as well.
We love a bit of a winner on a Saturday afternoon on ITV. Glimpse of Gala, Bradley Roberts will ride that one for Rory, the Bomber Liston for Ruby. Let's go to Kempton, where we have got the Lanzarote card. I was going to call it the Sylvian Aquaconti Chase card. Surely it's the Lanzarote card. A really good renewal of the Lanzarote. We'll look at the 130. It's a handicap chase and the well-backed Tile Tapper for Chris Honor. You mentioned Chris Honor, Rory, already, that he's hitting form 9-2 earlier this week, now 3-1 at the one to beat.
Yeah, I think he probably is. He's not the best of these, and he is stepping up in class here, but he's in form. He ran very well after a break at Exeter and soft ground. And then he's backed that up with a good second to Remastered at Kempton. We know that's solid form. He's clearly proven over course and distance. The run last time out was his first over 3 miles, but he's got plenty of stamina in his pedigree. And he just seems to be, he's lightly raced for a horse of his age, and he just seems to be getting his act together now. So the issue you have with this race is that there aren't many that have positive profiles. Some of them are hard to win with, some of them are out of form. Enrila's got a touch of class, but I think he's very much a spring horse. He'd be better on good ground. The ground will be soft at Kempton. And Sam's kind of interesting. He's been disappointing this season. I was with him when he won at Ascot last year, and I thought he would go on from that. He hasn't really, but he did run well over hurdles here the Saturday after the Cheltenham Festival. So the track suits him. And he's been trying to make the running against better opposition than this season, the London Gold Cup at Ascot on his first occasion, and then the Coral Gold Cup at Newbury. He looks like he'll be pretty much gifted the lead here. And if Adam Wedge can just get him rolling along and not ask him too much, he might be able to shake them off. He's the other one that would be of interest to me. But the one who just seems to be going the right way at the moment is Tile Tapper, and he's unexposed to the trip, and Chris Honor finally has his horses in good form. So it'd be good to see him get another decent winner.
Okay, so Tile Tapper for Rory. Over to you, Ruby, for the opening ITV race from Kempton.
Yeah, look, I'm taking a chance here. You were mentioning Sarah de Burley plummeting down the handicap. I'm going for one that's plummeting down the handicap but of much younger age, and that's Katie's Light. Has fallen from a mark of 145 where she chased home Hewick last year at the...
He chased home
Hewick in last year's Bet365 Gold Cup. That way he raced of 145 that day, back down now to 135. Didn't set the world alight on the 27th of December behind Remastered at Kempton, but just think Katie's Light's coming back down to a reasonable mark, and Christian Williams is going to hit form sooner or later.
Well, we'll see. I thought Kitty's Light was a future national winner. Yeah, at one stage, Kitty's Light
and the Bomber Liston played full forward, but he was part of that forward row team.
Did we all get it wrong then?
We all got it wrong. Yeah,
I was most right. In fairness, well,
you were the least wrong.
Well done. We won't host a GA podcast then when the summer starts, I think it's fair to say.
We hadn't got the permission, but at least we had him in the right team. He was part of that team that had four in a row and then got beaten by Offaly when Seamus Darby scored, and then went back to win three more.
Not bad.
In fairness, the book I read in P7 would have been just before they got the four in a row. So it was all about the three in a row.
It was, yeah. So it was 81 was four in a row, 82 they got beat, wasn't it? Beaten even.
Yeah.
It was 1980 when Rory was reading the book.
Yeah. And that was
or it may have been just, you know, not reprinted. Yeah. So I would have been, yeah, 81, I think it would have been.
Right.
The book was probably there for a year or two before I did.
Not even a glint in my father's eye at that stage. So that's grand.
Here at Paddy Power, we know being realistic can mean different things to different people. A realistic fullback doesn't pay attention when a fan tells him to shoot from 40 yards out.
What? Shoot!
And a realistic Man City manager doesn't expect a full house at the Etihad. So we want to make sure that you, our lovely customers, have set yourselves a realistic deposit limit on your accounts so that you never bet more than you can afford. Search Paddy Power deposit limit to set yours. Paddy Power.
Play safe, 18+, gamblingcare.ie.
Right, let's go from the GA world again to back to Kempton. 205, the Sivinako Conti Chase. It's a grade two. Pick Dory is the 5-4 favourite. Of course, Paul Nichols, you'd expect, would want to win this chase. 5-2, Paint the Dream. St. Calvados, also for Paul Nichols, David Maxwell. Remember, he now rides and owns. 9-1, Angel's Breath, who comes off a mammoth layoff for Sam Thomas and Sam Dozen Davis. 16-1, and bigger the rest. Go back to you, Ruby. Pick Dory, the one to beat.
I'm hoping Cool Cody is going to book out and take on Pick Dory, and that Conor Brace is going to take his time and pay the dream, and he'll come and pick him off down the home straight. So for a tactical decision in which I have no input and I have no idea what's going to happen, I'm going to go with Paint the Dream to come at Pick Dory, who'll be softened up by Cool Cody.
Okay, a tactical edge there from Ruby. Rory?
I love Paint the Dream, but I struggle to have him here. But I like Ruby's scenario. That might well work out. I am very much hoping that St. Calvados doesn't make the running, because he is my cliff horse. David Maxwell couldn't hold one side of him, but Ascot last time out when Cool Cody beat him. But it wasn't so much that Cool Cody beat him, is that St. Calvados beat himself, and he just stopped in the straight, and Cool Cody Adam Wedge just schooled him around because he didn't jump particularly well. Cool Cody, normally a very good jumper. But he didn't jump terribly well at Ascot, and Adam just held him together and waited for St. Calvados to cry enough. I think you'll see a different horse. Listen, this horse maybe would have won the last two King Georges if they'd had the winning post moved half a mile up the straight.
If only.
And this is exactly what he wants, 2.5 miles at Kempton. He's always wanted 2.5 miles at Kempton. He finally gets it. The worry might be that he's not the ideal ride for David Maxwell if he goes about it the way he did. But he doesn't. He can take a grip in Calvados. He did at Aintree last season, but he doesn't always look a lunatic. And if he races with a bit more restraint, with a hood fitted for the first time, then he's got the class to win this. And I think the race really suited Pick Dory at Huntingdon in the Peterborough Chase, and that gives him the winning of this. But I don't think he'll find it quite as easy, and I'm not sure he'd be quite as happy on the deeper ground, which is also true of Cool Cody. Whereas we know with St. Calvados, although Paul Nicholls has said he thinks the horse wants good ground, he's got loads of form, high-class form and heavy ground when he was trained by Harry Whittington. So I think he'll be happier on the ground than most. And this has to be his last chance, St. Calvados, given these are his absolutely ideal conditions and there are question marks over the others. This is his last chance saloon for me. I can't keep going for St. Calvados if he can't do it. I wasn't with him last time, in fairness. I wasn't going to be backing him at 2-7. And I think he ended up being about 10-1 on at one stage for that race with the non-runners. And I don't mean in running, I mean pre-race with the rule fours and deductions and all the rest of it. Ended up being a bizarre price. Yeah, he traded it at 25-1 on in the run, which is bizarre given that he was clearly almost out of control. But I hope to see more like the Olsen Calvados here. And I'll be disappointing if we don't, because he's such a talented horse and we haven't really seen the best of him.
You've been a real Maxwell fanboy this season.
I have a little bit. Yeah,
you have. You've been tipping up a fair few. Like he was just 100 chases a few years ago, obviously because he was riding in those, but now he's gone into the realm of graded horses. And that's factored into his price, isn't it?
That's the thing. I mean, the horses do tend to be overpriced. And I think if you back David Maxwell blind, you probably end up coming out on top. And the plenty of people back him on short-priced horses and sound very unhappy when they get turned over. But he does pop up on horses at a decent price. And that's the angle I would look for. But
has Project Jatalui clicked yet? I know you've fancied him a couple of times this season.
Rory, you'd be losing £4.56.
Well, if you avoided the shorties, you'd be winning a bomber.
Having said that, if you followed him solely over hurdles, you'd be plus 68.34.
Boom. Yeah. Okay, he obviously popped up with a nice price.
But unfortunately, this is a chase.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I don't know whether it's a thing with David Maxwell at the moment, but some horses do run away with him. Mm. And I don't mean that in a he's not a horseman, but he's there's been a few who just looked reasonably straightforward rides and then will take a real grip with him. Jatalui did last time, which he hasn't done before. And as I said, St. Calvados did last time. And he had that good hunter chaser who he had to pull up at Warwick because he was basically going to
he was going into the right. Yeah, I remember that one. Well, look, it's always an entertaining watch. But I
admire him. Trying to do what he's doing. So I honestly, I do admire him to get himself fit enough to be able to compete and try and do what he's doing. I must say I admire him.
I don't know his age. He doesn't look a spring chicken. So I'd say he has to do a fair chunk of work to get himself into that situation. We will see how St. Calvados goes. The big race at Kempton. And check this out, folks. 6 places each way. So I am going to have an each way bet in this. And I won't be called a mug. Or at least, well, I probably will. But still,
you might be.
Yeah, I might be. Yeah. Depending on who I bet. Mad and a mug. Green Glory. It's the Burns team. Charles Burns. Now, he did say that there was possibly issues sending this horse over in the ferry, but I'm assuming it's declared, so he's going to run. Glory, 4-1 favourite for the Burns team. You've got Outlaw, Dubrovnik Harry, West Balboa, 8-1, 12-1 at Big of the Rest, including Petit Tonnerre. Right, 6 places. Ruby Walsh, give us the winner or one to finish in the places.
I'm probably going to go one to finish in the places. I can see why Green Glory is favourite. That said, he won off 111 at Leperstown when he beat Spirit of Legend, got cool, Gay Cool, was back in third of my father's. And he did win snugly. That was 2.5, similar trip. I can see Charles Burns. I can see exactly why he's the price he is, but he's not for me. I'm going down the list. Cobbler's Dream obviously won the race last year. That was off a mark of 128. It's exactly £10 higher, having had a couple of runs over fences this season. But the one I was drawn to is further down again, and that's Hermes Boy, number 20, just got in at the bottom of the Lanzarote hurdle and got £2 for finishing second at Utoxeron's last start. And that actually gets Hermes Boy into the race. It was fourth to Love Envoy at Sandown. And just when you go back through his form, he's only a 6-year-old, 2.5 miles, cheap pieces on, fairly sure, maybe it wasn't Jane, but the Williamses have a good enough record in this race. Did Rory T42 win this as a handicap hurdler?
He did, yeah. Yeah, won it well as well.
It's a race they targeted in the past, and I think at 12-1 with 6 places, is that what you said? 7?
Oh, come on, 6. It's not that 7. It's not the Wokingham, for God's sake.
6 places, Hermes Boy will do me.
Frank Hickey, I'm told, by producer Mark, fancies that one too, Ruby. Right, Rory?
Always good to know.
Mm-hmm.
I've backed one for this, Andy Post, so I'll give that a mention first, although I'm semi-lukewarm about it. About WizKid at a big price. He would have a chance in the form he showed at Aintree last season, and it's interesting that the story here essentially is the form of Richard Newland's yard through the summer and now. Now, he had a terrible time. He had equine heartbeats in the yard, and the horses just ran terribly, and he couldn't get those horses he'd had to quarantine right. But he's now getting winners, and he's getting winners at reasonable prices as well. 2 winners from 8 runners in the calendar year, and a couple of places in there as well. So Mr. Muldoon was a 40-1 winner of a handicap hurdle at Chepstow, having been out of form. And I thought WizKid was liable to bounce back to form as well, 6 weeks on from a perfectly respectable run at Aintree, when he was sixth behind Romeo Brown. The trio who sort of headed out to lead that day dominated the race. WizKid raced in mid-division. I wouldn't mark him up massively before, but I thought he ran perfectly well. One of his issues has been his jumping. I mean, he only made his hurdles debut this time last year, and that was against Constitution Hill in the Tolworth. So he's had a pretty tough introduction. I know he was really strongly fancied to win at Aintree in a handicap at the national meeting. He was sent off 3-1 favourite that day. He did not jump. He pretty much got every hurdle wrong and was still placed. That was off a mark of 125. Killian Leonard was riding that day. Luke Scott claims 7 off him. He's now rated 1-2-2. He's essentially racing off 1-1-5. Given he was a group horse on the flat in Germany, if it all comes together for him, he could make a mockery of that mark. And I thought he was interesting at 33. He's getting close enough to that now. He's 28-1 with 6 places. So I certainly wouldn't put you off him at that price. But the one I like most comes from the same race at Aintree, and that's Harbour Lake, who was 4th that day. He got a bit outpaced and then stayed on late. He's a winner at Market Race, and he's also a winner on heavy ground at Bangor last season. He is he's still going the right way. I don't think he's, although he's 7, I don't think he's the finished article in terms of what he's capable of. I was very encouraged with the way he saw that out at Aintree, staying on past WizKid again late in the day. I think he was stepped forward from it. Sam Twiston Davis, a good booking for Alan King, unusual booking for Alan King, actually, but certainly a good one. And I think this race will suit him. I think the 2-mile-5 at Kempton should be right up his street. And if I was looking for one each way in the race to hit the, you know, to hit the extra places, I think Harbour Lake looks very reliable. He looks very likely to run his race, which you couldn't really say of WizKid. WizKid's more of a shot in the dark at a big price, in the hope that he comes back to form with the stable now doing better. But Harbour Lake looks really solid to me.
All right, we'll keep an eye out for those three horses to watch out for in the Lanzarote. Now, the feature at Ferry House on Saturday, the Dan and John Moore Memorial Grade A Handicap, 2 miles and a furlong. Cade Boy, the 2-1 favourite for Liz Doyle and Simon Torrens in the JP Silks. You've got Epson de Hoop, Mount Leinster, Ruby, Willie Mullins trains that one. It's been a nice little money spinner at Mount Leinster. This is his type of race. Is he going to win it?
It is his type of race, and he definitely has a chance. My one concern would be really heavy ground for Mount Leinster. He is the Blackstairs Mountain pedigree out of Six Hills, and not sure even if Mount Leinster himself has much form on real heavy ground. I'm just looking here. He was third to take all in Wexford in October. Not quite January in Ferry House. Soft ground in September in Listowel and the Curra wouldn't even be comparable to it. Neither would Galway in July or Nace. Yeah, beating a long way behind Jason the Militant. It's off the heavy ground at Nace in February. That would be my concern for him. And for that reason, I would be giving him a swerve. I think he can win another handicap chase, but I'd just be worried about him on real heavy ground. The pedigree, they were all better on better ground, and he appears to be as well.
Band of Blues has won on heavy ground, though.
Heavy ground, but I think the handicapper may well have just caught up with Fan de Blues. He's up to 149. He beat Turbo off 141 at Cork, but I think that £8 just seems to have him. The ones that interested me were the two at the top of the market. K-Boy, obviously, he's an 8-year-old. He's won on testing ground in the past and would have to have a chance, ran well behind Silver Class at Ferry House. And I thought Epson de Hoop, I know he was in the contest that Energamine won in the Hilly at Cork. He was never actually in the race with Energamine, which you wouldn't expect him to be, but he did show that he handles real test and ground, and I just thought maybe he could be interesting.
Very interesting indeed. Epson de Hoop, 11-2 as we record. Rory, any thoughts on that before I spin through the rest of the
pair? I do. I'm going to take a chance here on Castle Grace Paddy, who theoretically is on the down. Well, he's not theoretically, he's clearly on the downgrade at the age of 12. I'm not sure he's regressing as fast as some people think, though. And he wasn't beaten that far, despite finishing last in the Fortria at Navan in November. Andy Dufresne was third of the four that day and was 7 lengths in front of him. He's £10 better off now. He's waited to turn the tables there. But I think the key to him is he's back at Ferry House. Never, ever run a bad race at this track. And I think that just might be the key. His lifetime record at Ferry House is 5 runs, 4 places and a win. And I know he's 12 now, but his form, you know, in the last season or two in graded company is all right. You know, he struggles to mix it with, he's always struggled to mix it with the very best. He's sort of a grade two chaser at his peak. He was third in the Devonish chase here. Back in April, repeat of that would put him in the picture. And I thought he would run a half decent race, Castle Grace Paddy. He won't mind the ground at all. He does have, he's run over further on good ground, but I always thought that he was probably best around 2 miles on deep ground. He doesn't have the tool to lie up with good horses over 2 miles on quickish ground anymore. But I think on deep ground over this trip, I think he will run a half decent race at a biggish price.
Yeah, he should be double figures. Well, he is.
Oh, yeah, he will be. Yeah, he might be.
He is now 11-1 as we record. Anyway,
he'd be bigger than that come the off. I think.
Well,
he's the kind of horse that gets ignored in races like this. I wouldn't be surprised if he was 20s.
There's
no rush to take the price there. But,
okay, we'll keep an eye on the market. So, Ruby, I'm going to spin through the Willie Mullins declarations on the card. In the opening race, which is the juvenile hurdle, Blood Destiny's in there. There's a new jockey, by the way, riding in that race, D. Russell. Jazzy Matty, but what a shape for him. But Blood Destiny for Paul and Willie Mullins?
Yeah, he was impressive at Cork. Jumped well, stayed well. Nuzret ran okay behind Lossie Mouth at Leopardstown after winning well at Punchestown when it beat Morning Soldier, who reopposes at more favourable weights from Morning Soldier. But Top Blood Destiny was good in Cork and he'd be hard to beat, but I imagine he'd be priced that way, PK.
Might be. Yeah, he might be. If Paul Townend had broken his leg the day after Ken Boy won that race at Punchestown, would you come back out of retirement for Willie Mullins?
So when I rode Ken Boy that day, I was jocked up to ride Shack and Pursuit the next day and didn't take up the ride. I was actually jocked up, I think, to ride on the Friday as well. Don't know why I didn't ride that day. I could have ridden Benny DeJue on the Saturday, and she won, and she went on to ride the French Champion Hurdle. So no PK, but I wouldn't have come back if Willie Mullins had asked me, but I don't think Willie would have asked me anyway. In Willie's way of thinking, I didn't tell Willie Mullins I was thinking of retiring for fear he wouldn't want me, let alone looking for me to come out of retirement.
Were you surprised when Davey came back and retired?
I wasn't, and I wasn't, and Lydia asked me about it on the road to Cheltenham yesterday as well. I think when you read Davey's retirement statement, I actually read it out wrong when they're all to Cheltenham last night. I can't even read my own writing, but he did say, I am sad to be giving up something I've been lucky enough to have done. So he was sad to be giving it up. To me, I wasn't one bit sad about retiring. I was happy to be retiring. So it was a different mindset. I'm not sure how ready Davey was to retire. So it didn't surprise me that he, when he got the opportunity, came back again.
Not very ready, as it turns out. Flame
Bear. That's the way it read, but everybody's different.
Yeah. And, of course.
I'd had enough. He obviously hasn't.
No, clearly not. It'll be interesting to see if he makes it all the way to Cheltenham. You mentioned that Blood Destiny might be a short price. Flame Bear should be a short price. This is Fran Berry's fancy for one of the novice chases at Cheltenham. He should win that 247, shouldn't he?
He should, purely because of the opposition. Highland Charge probably is the most notable of the opposition, and wasn't a bad horse. Was disappointing at Fairyhouse behind Il Fabiola, but maybe he'll have improved for that. But that said, Flame Bear got beaten a long way by Journey With Me at Nace. It was a bad third and has to improve a lot on that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how he goes. Looking for an improved run. And one of the bumper newcomer called Westport Cove, who Patrick rides. There's only the 10 in the bumper and mightn't be the strongest one.
Yeah, by Mutamir, down at the bottom, goes reasonably well, Westport Cove. So for Carl Hughes, yeah, definitely you'd be thinking he goes well enough to win a bumper. No doubt about that.
We'll keep an eye out for Westport Cove in the 357. Paddy's Pick 5, 50 grand in the pot this week, and most of the races are live on ITV bar one at Fairyhouse. Going to spin through the five races with Ruby Walsh and Rory. 225 at Warwick is the first race, and Ruby, going to ask you to give us your selection in that race. You were quite keen on it.
I wasn't. I was only making a case one. That was a very open race. And I suppose if you want to win a larger chunk of the Pick 5, you should probably ask Rory.
I think his was a bigger price. But anyway, Rory, do you remember yours? Yeah, I think it was. What was yours in the 225, Rory?
The 225 at Warwick. Ruby's was the other one I liked in the race, which I didn't even mention. But Moon Hunter was mine, and Snake Roll was Ruby's. So.
Okay, well, one of the two hopefully will win. The 240, which is the Lanzarote. I am going back to you, Rory. I know you had a big price one at Antipost, but who's your more stronger fancy?
Yeah, I thought Harbour Lake was really solid here.
Yeah, lovely. In the 3 o'clock at Warwick, which is the classic chase, you both fancy the same horse. Ruby, I'll give it to you, Bill.
Yeah, what are we going to call him this time? Number 13 of Charlie Longsons, the mount of Richie McLernan and the colours of JP McManus. Something Collange.
Guetapan Collange. The 322 of Fairyhouse, not like that's the only non-ITV race. Ruby, this is a rated novice chase. There's a horse here who's been, he has a big race in him.
He does, and my maths, which I will be corrected upon, but as I look down, so Clonbury Bridge is a mark of 116, 11 stone, 5. So if we go to 12 stone, which C Ducker has, which is an increase of £9, I think that makes C Ducker around 125. Now, that's not an official mark, so the handicapper will allow a horse to run in this race, but that's not your official handicap mark. But his handicap mark over hurdles was 134. So he's £9 in theory well in here. Now, if he loses here, he'd probably have a handicap mark of 125. But I still think he's in a race that he's capable of winning. So C Ducker.
And the last Paddy's Pick 5 race, 50 grand, I said, free to play, is the Pretemps qualifier at Warwick, the 335. And we're going to go with the former Kerry forward, aren't we, Ruby?
The Bomber, listen.
Best luck with your bets. It's free. Don't even have to bet. It's free to play. It's the Paddy's Pick 5. It's 50 grand in the pot. And you can check out the show notes for how you can get involved. Okay, that's Saturday's racing done and dusted. There's a couple of races I want to look at a Punchestown on Sunday, most notably the Moscow Flyer. Now, not going to get a big price, I think, about in this Impair a Pass. This race has been won by the likes of Duvan in the past, Ruby. He's going to be long odds. Does this suggest that he could be going supreme route or...
No, I wouldn't think so. He won a 2,287 whatever yards maiden hurdle at Nace. and he was really impressive. How deep a race it was, I'm not so sure. I think the second has been well beaten since, so it'll be interesting to see in time how that race works out. For Fear of Frost was second for Mouse Morris on that occasion, and For Fear of Frost, I think, ran at Limerick at Christmas and didn't throw any shape. No, hasn't run since even, so I'm talking absolute waffle. But in Pere Pass, he could only do what he did. That was win. But dropping down a trip to a sharper track, not sure that'll suit him. So I think he'll still win, but he looks more of a distance horse to me.
Okay, fair enough. Had you any thoughts on that, Rory, before I skip through the rest?
No, it didn't look massively competitive to me, so...
And my assumption, Ruby, that it's on the first race in the card, is that ground issues? They just don't want to run it?
I'd say five runners for the jackpot.
Ah, thank you. Very good. The man knows his industry, doesn't he? I would say
it was initially to be the second race, but that maiden hurdle then was divided. I can't imagine it's ground. I would have said that as they divided the race, it would have become the third race. The first race was divided, the maiden hurdle. Two, it would become the third, making a jackpot race, so they had to put it in front.
Knows his onions, that Ruby Walsh. Talk to me about Tactical Move, Ruby, a horse who, at the age of 9, is making his fourth start in the Joe Donnelly Silks in that division of the maiden hurdle, the first one. What happened to him?
Well, Willie has one owner in particular that says there is no such thing as a white flag in Claus Sutton, and this fella is probably proof of that. 1,158 days, beat out his boy on his last start in a bumper, but he's had as many injuries as me. And those go well. There's a lot of work done, but he's just very injury prone. Tactical Move.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact that you're kicking on and Joe Donnelly's been paying training fees for the guts of 3 years without a run, there's got to be some ability there, right? So
there's just no white flag in close up.
Fair enough. In the second division of the maiden hurdle, there's a Rich Ritchie newcomer in terms of newcomer over hurdles, had shown form in France. I'm going to go with Bialystok.
Ballystock, we call him as well, whether that's right or wrong now. I'm sure William will correct us all when that commentator starts to say it. But look, plenty of runs in France from 9 to 10.5 furlong, speedy type, jumps well, buys off any. Yeah, goes well.
Wins?
Just looking through the race, PK. Safour. Yeah, would have a chance at Gordon's. Yeah, it doesn't look the strongest.
You've seen one in that race. Sunshart making his hurdling debut for Andy Slattery. I think he was 100 rated on the flat.
He was pretty decent horse. And look, ran up to 1.6 miles on the flat. Definitely got 1.5 miles, so sure to stay.
Yeah, keep an eye out for him. The other feature is the Madigan Group Not Chase, the Grade 3, 2 for Willie, Glenn Gooley, and Ha Door. Paul's on Ha Door, suggesting that's the one to be on.
Yeah, probably not surprising. Although Glenn Gooley did surprise me at Thurles and jumped like a buck when he beat Tell Me Something Girl. So, front running as well. Plenty of pace in here. Hador likes to get on with it. So does Glenn Gooley. You'd also have to think that Journey With Me won't be too far off the pace, having won at Nace over 2.5. And Manila Crooner looks like he wants every yard of it. Just the shape up of the race, the shape up could probably suit Impervious. She'll be stalking him and likes to come at him, and her form is rock solid. Even when you go back to her run last April at Fairy House behind Brandy Love, Love End by Whore Peast, Dino Blue, Impervious, it's strong form. They're five decent fillies, so she's a good mare, Impervious, and I think that the way the race could be run could suit her.
Yeah. Is this her first run on the JP Silks, or is it?
It is. No, she definitely was definitely in Paul McKeown's Colours of Cork.
Exactly. All right, very good. And that's that. Unless, Rory, you've got anything for us at punch time? Anything else?
No, I'd still be with Journey With Me in that contest. I've always liked him. There's two ways of looking at the race he won at Nace, but I put up Bride's Hill here last week, and she was a non-runner, but I thought I think she's a little bit better than she's given credit for. And although you can look at this race and say, well, Flame Bearer didn't give his running and therefore the form isn't worth an awful lot, I disagree. I thought it was a strong enough race. I thought Bride's Hill had come forward markedly, having essentially been schooled round in her previous start. And I think that Journey With Me, again, he'll stalk the pace. He's not going to go to the front. He's tracked the pace and all his recent starts. So I think it'll set up nicely enough for him. And I've always hoped that he would turn out to be a grade one horse. And this is his chance to prove the point.
Okay, Journey With Me for Rich Blackmore and Henry de Bromhead. Impervious for Ruby. Right, that's a lovely weekend of racing covered. We now have best bets of that weekend. And as ever, I do a little bit of waffling where the lads kind of go, oh, yeah, what was my best bet? Okay, Rory, enough waffle. What was your best bet?
Get a Pan Calonge.
Oh, he's got in.
Just so you can say it again.
He's got it. That was a classic
chase, which is what, 3 o'clock at Warwick, is it?
It is. Thank you very much. 3 o'clock Warwick. Gutupan Collange. Ruby?
I was all set to go for Gallia Leto, and then Rory started making a really strong case for Complete Unknown. So I watched the Foss last race again here at one stage, and you were waffling on, PK. And I would have to, that's put me off Gallia Leto. So I am actually going to go with Hermes Boy in the Lanzarote.
Each way.
Yep.
With those extra places. Thank you very much. All right, so Hermes Boy in the 240 for Ruby, his best bet of the weekend. Lads, we will reconvene on Monday. In the same studio as we look ahead to the novice hurdles at Cheltenham in the first of our episodes. We're going to record that on TV. It'll be live. Well, it'll be recorded and will be posted on Paddy Power's horse racing YouTube channel. So please do subscribe to that. Best luck with your best this weekend. It's great to be back, folks. The weather's crap. But whoop-de-doo. You make on.
Come home.
It's great to be back. Yeah. Right. Enjoy the weekend, folks. And we'll talk to you on Monday.